In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week in the historic lectionary is known as Rogate Sunday, a day and a time of Easter when we reflect and hear how God calls upon us, call upon Him. It's the time when God's Word teaches us that because Jesus rose from the dead, we can go to God bearing His name, knowing that He will hear us and He will answer our prayer. Our beloved Dr. Luther writes to us in his small catechism regarding prayer. In the first petition of our Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. What does this mean? That God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that He is our true Father, that we are His true children, so that we may with all boldness and all confidence ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. The Christian faith is not a faith in an idea, nor is it a faith in a concept, like peace, love, joy, or any of the other emotions. In the word of religion that we see in our Christian faith, we find our faith in a person of Jesus Christ. In me you have peace, says Jesus. In Him, in Christ alone. And if we think about that, we will be amazed at the tremendous gift which Christ our Lord gives to us daily by His great mercy and His love. So many of the people the world over try and find their strength, their hope, and their power in a concept or philosophy that is not of Christ at all. Such as we hear sayings, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, use the force. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And only you can change you. Or from my youth in the 60s, I'm okay, you're okay. But if we look and examine the major religions of the world, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, New Age philosophies, or even atheism, we will find one thing in common. There is no relationship. There is no person involved at all. You are left to your own. Your own problems become your problem, and you must work your way out of them. But sadly, this is the way many Christians of today act. They feel that God is simply something that you can bring out of the closet and dust off when you need Him, when you have a problem in your life, when you want to impress someone, then you bring God out, but only after you fix what is wrong in your life so you feel worthy enough to come before God. There will always be a part of you that believes you have to fix things before you can come to God. This is why some people tremble at the thought of coming to the Lord's Supper. I am not worthy. And of course, if you live under the law, that's true. For the law teaches you that you are not worthy, that you must be cleansed and purified and perfect before you can enter into God's presence. And that's true. But what the law does not teach you is that Jesus' death on the cross is your cleansing and your purifying. Because you are in Him, you are perfect, holy, righteous, and without sin before God. This is why Jesus says, in me you have peace. Your peace is not in your works. Your peace is not in your pious intentions or goodwill, and it is certainly not in your holiness or righteousness. Your peace, the only peace that you will ever have and the only peace that really matters lies in the wounds of Jesus Christ alone. Why is that so important? Why is it central to our Christian faith? Primarily because it's the heart and core of who God is, how He belongs to give you as one of His children. For the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit longs to draw you into His presence, to give you His love, mercy, and forgiveness. He wants to share all that He has with you, the sinner who has been redeemed by Christ alone. Hear again what St. Timothy told us in the epistle lesson this morning. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see, Jesus Christ is there for you. You go to Jesus, for in Him lies all your hopes and dreams. And this is why in our collects we pray through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Why we pray the Our Father who art in heaven. We cannot pray these things if Christ our brother was not praying with us and for us. So where is our comfort in the times of trials and tribulations that Christ speaks about in our text today? First of all, Jesus is always praying for us when we pray. Your prayers are never alone. You may not even know what to pray for. But our Lord Christ prays with you and for you, and when you open your lips in prayer and do not have the words, he makes the words for you and perfect for you. So the Heavenly Father hears what you need to have heard. Secondly, God promises to answer these prayers. When you pray as a baptized Christian, God promises to hear you. Whatever you ask in my name, says Jesus, God hears you. He will answer you in his own time and in his own way, to be sure, but you must know he will hear and answer you. And thirdly, Jesus has already gone through the worst. He will see you through whatever this trial or tribulation is. Whatever your need, whatever your heartache, whatever your temptation, your trial, your testing is, Jesus has gone through it and much, much more. If he can die on the accursed tree and rise from the dead, he can certainly see you through the end of your journey to heaven. So you see, this is what Jesus means when he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." The victory's won. Christ has paid the debt for us. Pray without ceasing, for God will always answer your prayers in the name of the one who has overcome the world. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.